you're using flashcards at all, it's just like one big stack, and you kind of go through them all, and then you know, maybe you'll go through all of them again, but some of them you know well, some of them you don't know at all, some of them you know kind of well. Whereas with this spaced repetition system, and the Leitner box, which I'll describe, they kind of use our forgetting curve to our advantage, and I'll describe what that is in a second. The other two tools that I'll describe are Memory Palace, which I already talked about, so we can probably just go over that pretty quickly. Smash and Scope, which everybody will hopefully know what that means after this class. A phonetic mnemonic system, which is also called the Major Method. And this is something which is really useful for basically turning numbers into pictures, which is very useful for a number of reasons. And we'll go into that. And then the next kind of tool which I use for the Dhammapada is initializing quotes. So if anybody has any questions at any point, feel free to raise your hand. And also, if anybody wanted to, this can kind of be passed around, and it can be a good, it'll be a good test for me, but also a good kind of, so people can like pick out, if you pick out any number in that between 1 and 423, then I should be able to say the sutta, the verse. And if you said the first line, that would be even better. It's a strange memory thing where saying the first line is easier than if you just say a number. But if I don't get it, then it's great. I can explain why I didn't encode that memory well enough. And if I do get it right, then I can explain how I encoded that. So for people who've studied memory before, you've probably heard these like three terms. You have encoding, storage, and retrieval. These are like modern, supposedly modern like terms with how you process memories. But actually they occur in the commentary to Majjhima number 12. So encoding is kind of is translated as sati. And you can look at Bhikkhu Bodhi's Majjhima Nikaya. So encoding is sati, storage is gati, and retrieval is ditti. And then there's another one which is kind of processing these things. So these are concepts which have existed, well, forever, but they've been labeled since at least 500 AD. But they're really important. You want to be able to do all three of those to have lasting memories about anything. Maybe before I get too far along, I'm just curious, maybe we could go around and people could say what they might want to use like memory systems for. We can just go around.
Suttas, various teachings, suttas, and you know, anything where memory would be useful in daily life.
Suttas, chants, even bhikkhus' names.
Yeah.
Pali.
Yeah.
So the chants, other things, emphasize it.
So, see,
sight reading the word, but it doesn't always. I can't recall it without seeing the word so much, and so I've got this vocabulary sitting in there that I a lot of it I just can't access it at the spur of the moment.
Yeah.
Which may be related to other issues.
Brett and Chittipala, we were going around saying what we might want to use memory systems for in the future. I don't know if you have any. Do you have any?
Chanting.
Okay. Okay. Great. And I've used many of these systems. We can tear this up and go on the side. Many of these systems for doing a lot of this, including names sometimes. So that's useful. And again, since there are more people now, can we get a show of hands for people who have used the spaced repetition system or the Leitner box before? Either currently or ever. Okay, we got 4 people. Okay, great. Spaced repetition system is, as I said, flashcards on steroids. So if you're going to be learning a new language, Pali or Thai, any language, you're going to have to learn vocabulary. And you're going to need to use flashcards if you want to get a critical number of words. And that could be like, you should start speaking as soon as you get a chance, but say like 625 or like 1,000 words will get you a good start into easy conversation. But you can start way before that. So you can put words on these cards or full sentences, which are even better. But what this does is it takes advantage in an opposite way, negative advantage of the forgetting curve. So usually when you remember something, this is the point that you remember something, and then over time, it's going to fade from your memory, because that's just the nature of memory. But with this spaced repetition system, and this isn't the best graph, what you do is you've got, a timeline. Would you be willing to go into the Majima room, and then on the first cabinet on this wall, on about this shelf here, there should be like maybe a stack of papers that look like this. So what it is a schedule for reviewing your flashcards, which has 7 levels. Level, and this is a calendar, which I've printed up enough to give to everybody, a calendar which tells you which levels to review on which days. So until he comes back, pass this around. This is my Leitner box, levels 1 through 4. This is levels 5 and 6. And this is level 7 of my Leitner box. Leitner box is a German author who kind of labeled or kind of created this box system in the 1970s. You review level 1, so you put new cards into level 1 every day. If it's less than 5 cards, then it's kind of rinky-dink, and you're not really gaining much foothold or much traction. But if it's, over 20 to start with, then it can be a bit too much, and you'll definitely get bogged down as they move through the system. So it's like a laddered progression. You review level 1 every single day. You review level 2. Oh, you can bring that. So Sorry, that was you can bring that. So once you've been doing the system for a long time, you can have like a nice pillow like this, okay? All your old words. But for the time being, you can just look at that and I'll pass out. Do you want to? Yeah, maybe you can go look. I think that it should be somewhere on one of those shelves. Yeah. So, yeah, level one, you review every day. Level two, you're reviewing every other day. Level three, you're reviewing every third day. Level four, you're reviewing every week. Level five, you're reviewing once every 2 weeks. Level six, you're reviewing once every month. And level seven, you're reviewing once every 2 months. You put new words into level one. And then basically each card is a test. Yeah? So this is a really important principle when you're learning something. You want to get immediate feedback as to whether or not you've grasped the concept or not. So the front is basically a question, and the back is the answer. So this is when I'm memorizing the names of the different Sanyutta Nikayas, the different collections, the different Sanyuttas of the Sanyutta Nikaya. So the front says Sanyutta Nikaya 28, and then the back tells me the answer, and I don't yet know it because I just put it in. It's the Sariputta Samyutta. If you get the answer on the back correct, then it goes to the next level, one level up. So when you start, you'll have no cards in any of the levels from level 2 up to level 7. You'll just have however many cards you put into the first level. You find it? Oh, awesome. Perfect. And maybe Tantis, or if you have any other questions, because I said some stuff while you were away, which is kind of like crucial.
Okay, I'll put it together.
You'll put it together.
Did me and Brett miss much in the first 5 minutes?
What's that?
Yeah, me and Brett, did we miss a lot in the first 5 minutes?
No, I just basically went over what we're going to be discussing. So, yes, everybody, that little plastic one that I've handed around, is that... Okay, so now that everybody has a copy to look at, what you'll see there is a list of days. Days 1 to day 64. Do you not have one?
No, but I've seen it before. I've got one on my cootie, but is that for...
Just kind of for seeing how to watch this, how to understand this calendar.
Is this the Fluent Forever book?
Yes. Gabriel Weiner... he, a monk named Virananda, introduced me to this system. He described it to me one day at Sangati, at Wat Namachat. It takes maybe 20, 30 minutes to describe, and I've been using it pretty much every single day, and that was like 4.5 years ago, more than 4.5 years ago. So it really is a foundational part of my life. I don't just use, I put Dhamma quotes, Dhamma insights into this thing, and I can explain how that's useful as well. But one thing which your calendars don't have is the actual dates. So if you were to start today, then you would see, for me, I've written the dates on these neat, removable stickered sheets. So basically, for you all, you're starting at day 17, and then you could just, if you didn't want to get all fancy with a date sticker, then you could just do 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, up until 31, and then start at 1. So you'll need to do that, and then what that does is that tells you, when you look at that date, that tells you which levels you're going to review on that day. Does that make sense so far? So, for myself, I look, today is the 17th, and it tells me that I have to review level 2 and level 1. So what you do is you review the level that it tells you to review first. So I would go to level 2 in here, and it's got basically these are the size of my flashcards, and I would basically go through all of these, and the ones that I got incorrect bumped down all the way to 1. No matter what level you're going, if you get it wrong, pretty much, it goes all the way back to 1. And if you get it right, it goes up 1 level. So the ones that I get wrong will bump down to 1, and then the ones I get right go up to level 3. And then, as I mentioned, I'm supposed to review level 2 and level 1, so then I would review level 1. And then I go through that. And the special thing about level 1 is that you, at the end of the day, you should have no cards remaining in level 1. So basically, you need to keep going through the level 1 cards until all of them have gotten into level 2. For all the other levels, 2 to 7, if you get it wrong once, you don't put it at the back end of that stack. It bumps down to level 1. You don't get a second chance. It takes the forgetting curve to your advantage. So basically, say this is, you put in a new card here, and this is day 1, you put it in. Day 2, you're told on your Lightner box to look at it again, and then you get it correct, then it goes to level 3, and then level 3 will come up on a third day, and then so that's some days in the future, and then you'll start forgetting it because that's how the brain goes. But it won't go, you know, way down here. It'll just go down a little bit. And then you're asked to review it again. It's more like out here because the times that you're asked to recall it are kind of at an incrementally greater length of time each time. That makes sense. That sentence didn't make sense, but hopefully everybody got the concept. Yeah? All right. That's good. And so I needed a second day after I put the Lightner box into effect to kind of ask Tan Virenando more questions. So if anybody have any questions after you start, then please ask me.
Can I ask you one right now?
Yeah.
Is I've tried to, you know, just continually just doing the game, but the spacings don't seem to match, you know, the last time you review 6 in the system, and then it goes up to 7. It will sit in 7 longer than it normally would be if you start the game fresh. Now, are you supposed to just at the end, when you get your first round of cards through 7, are you supposed to pull I just keep going with the cards that haven't made it to 7, you know?
Yeah, and what do you do when you put them back in 1? Or you level 8?
No, I just keep going, and what I've been doing is just calculating, and it falls on the days when you just review 1. There's one of those days that matches the time space, I don't remember what that time spacing is for 7.
Yeah.
For reviewing 7, and I've been reviewing the 7 on that one day where it's just reviewing the one level 1. I'll review the new 7s that were created after when you go through the game first, you get the 7, and then a couple days later you're reviewing 6 again, and you end up with a big pile going back to the 7 possibly.
Okay.
And then then the game starts over again within the week, and so I've got all these cards in the 7.
I think there might be a misunderstanding of it doesn't say it here, but basically, so say you've gone all the way through all these days, and you get to day number 56, that's the first time that you review level 7. And then if you get something right, like all the words that are in level 7, you've gotten them right at least 6 times previously. So you've been hammering this in. Again, just as you're about to forget it, you hammer it in again. You're about to forget it, and you hammer it in again. So these words in level 7, although you only review them once every 2 months, they're in there pretty well. But then, so you continue, and then after this, day 54, you go back to day one.
Right. You see like how below seven there's another six?
Yeah.
Now, all those go up to seven.
Yes.
And now it still would be, you know, I was thinking the timing was off. It was like longer than 50 some days that you're waiting, and I didn't know if that was a bad thing or not.
This isn't perfect. Like, there are apps. Like, none of us have phones where we can use them. But there are apps which are more technically correct. Like, this is kind of approximate. Like, you have 2 days on day 24 and day 59 when you're taking ones which you get correct from level 6 and moving up to 7. So the ones that you move up to level 7 on day 59, you're actually, they're sitting it up in there for, you know, 5 plus 56 days. So basically like 60 days, so almost 2 months exactly. Whereas the ones that you put in on day 24 are only staying in there for something like 25 or plus days.
So that's what I was doing. I don't know if that's a good idea or not. What was there's a certain days in there where you just review
level one. Yeah.
And then on that first level one,
yeah,
or not the first one, but the second one, I think it is, it works out to be perfect.
No, I think you should wait. I think you should wait to this because it will be harder. But yeah, I mean, I pretty much always get things wrong in 7 and 6 and 5. So things are bumping back down. And once you've been doing this for a while, you can kind of be a little bit loose with some of the rules. Like if you know the rule, it comes up level 7, and you've gotten it right 7 times, you've made some mistakes, but you finally worked it up to 7, and then you kind of know it, but you make one small little mistake in pronunciation or something, then I might move it back down to level 3 rather than all the way to level 1. So,
how do you? I know you use small cards, and suppose you want to memorize a long sutta. How do you take the long? You know, I'm curious how you do it with small cards.
For Dhammapada quotes, basically those are 4-line.
Right, Dhammapada is organized very nicely in bits. But suppose you want to memorize the Mahasatipatthana Sutta.
Yeah, I would break it down.
So I'm curious what do you put on the front side of your card to tell you which part of the Mahasatipatthana Sutta to recite?
You're doing it in English?
I've done it in English, yeah.
In English. So for the Dhammapada, it's easy because each one is numbered. So this is basically, pass this around, this is the Dhammapada with, it's got the number on the front, and then it's got the verse on the back. And so that's easy for the Dhammapada. So I look at the front, okay, Dhammapada verse 378. What is it? Do I know it? If I do, then I look at the back, am I correct? Yes. But with other ones, you'd have to be more creative. Like maybe you write, like within the, like in some of the older editions, like
they have the numbers.
They've got both numbers and like subsections,
right,
which oftentimes are not in the English.
Right. And what I've done is I end up using much larger cards.
Yeah.
And so going by subsections.
Does that work for?
But then the other thing is that I'm more relaxed about the way that I am, about how exact I am, because if you have really short cards, you can be really exact in that you either know it or you don't. Whereas if you have a longer passage, partial knowledge, you know, is the norm.
Right.
And so it's so I will actually often, you know, if I don't, it really depends how well I want to know it. If I don't, you know, if it's serious, if I haven't got it at all, I certainly don't put it back in one.
Yeah.
But if I'm just missing, you know, a word or two, you know, here and there, I might even keep it at the same level. And that would mean, you know, reviewing it, say if it's at level 6, instead of moving it to 7, I keep it at 6.
Yeah.
And that seems to, for me, that's with the longer cards, that seems to, that has seemed to work for me.
So what do you put on the front of the card?
So for example, with the front of the card for say the Mahasatipatthana Sutta would be Mahasatipatthana Sutta, you know, what the sutta is, and then for instance, Charnagram contemplation.
Yeah.
And then it's the, and on the back is the, you know, and I have a, my use envelopes in there, you know, slightly different than what you've got, but
yeah.
Then on the back is the charnel ground, except actually for the charnel ground, I end up splitting that one in two because the contemplation of the bones is it's almost, you know, it's pretty
substantial
compared to the best thing.
Yeah.
But so that was what I've done, and it seems to work for what I'm doing. But if I were doing vocabulary, I think I would stick with the classic system that you're using.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Well, I'll skip ahead because it's kind of related to this last point of initializing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a kind of trick which I learned from is one of these memory champions. Is if you're memorizing a new passage, specifically works really well with Dhammapada, whether Pali, and I've done some English, but it's basically, this is part of that same list, but... What you get, so before I would get that list, because it would be hard, like if I was just to give them a number,
yep.
You know, from day one, and have to like recite the whole gatha, the whole verse.
Yep.
So what this does is it gives me like, it's like training wheels. So I've got the first initial of each word on the front, and then you've got the whole quote in the back. So if you're trying to memorize this quote, we tend to remember best that which we care about most. You'd make a card that looked like this. WTTRBTWWCAM. And it seems kind of cheesy, but it really does work for like a, if you're having a difficult, if it's a difficult passage.
And so you run these first.
Yes.
And those.
Yeah. And is anybody here thinking they might ever try to memorize the Dhammapada? It's a fun exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? What, just like an outline, at first I was doing one vaga a month, one chapter a month, which is totally doable. Like anybody here could do that using the spaced repetition for sure. And then the last, say, 9 or so vagas, chapters, I was doing one chapter every 2 weeks, and that was difficult. But so for the first week, I would write out all of the verses as initials for that first week, put them all through, and then on the second week, I've already gone through all of them as initials. Each vaga is about 20 verses, and then the second week, I would go with just the number, and then I have to say what's on the back. So yeah, that initializing method really does work.
I think this is probably a good time to test your knowledge.
All right.
I mean, you do that sporadically, right?
That's good. Yeah. Cool. I like
this
it.
Commercial break.
Yeah. And maybe you could start with just the first three words rather than a number to start.
Okay. One is truly.
In Pali. Sorry.
Atta hi atta no.
Yeah. That is the first line of two different verses. It's the first line of verse 160. Atta hi atta no nato. Atta hi atta no nato. Kohi nato parosya. Atta nahi sudantena. Natang labati dulabam. So one is one. And it's also the first line of verse number 380. Atahi atano nato, atahi atano gati, tasma sanyamamatanam, asang badrang vavanijo. So one's truly one's own refuge. Who else could be your refuge? with yourself well tamed, then you gain refuge hard to gain. Sorry. Verse number 160.
One's treated one's own protector, who else could the protector be? Oneself fully controlled one gains a protector, which is hard to gain.
Okay. So how I remember that is I'm going to give you a little bit of a preview. And this is a funny one. Not all of my images are funny, but I've got Jay-Z locked up in a locker in Ajahn Jayasaro's Kuti at Bon Boon in Korat, Thailand. Okay.
Jay-Z,
he's a rapper.
Okay.
He's a rapper. So, cool, thank you. And I've also got, basically, so maybe now would be a time to go on to Memory Palace. Does everybody have a sense of this spaced repetition system, the Lightner box? And you can all keep those calendars. Did everybody get one? Who wants one?
One more question on that. What are your thoughts on pictures and vocabulary words?
Yes. If you're learning a language, especially for like nouns, it's incredibly helpful. I did this for over a year, is to only have pictures. As soon as you can get to know none of your native language, the better. Because you don't want to be always translating in your mind. You want to be able to have a picture in your mind. Apple, how do you say it? Apple, how do you say it? So that's one really good thing you can use is you have a picture on the front. Got a picture of an apple, and then you say what the Thai or the Pali is. That's really useful. One other point you brought up about like spaced repetition cards, which say they're maybe it seems like you're not getting them fast enough for you.
Sometimes it seems like they're falling off before, you know, like a high fail rate sometimes.
Yep.
At the higher levels.
You can. Run it through again, and also you can have multiple cards relating to the same object. So say if it's like you're trying to remember the word for apple while you're standing in here, you can have a card which has like a picture of you standing in here, and then because it's personally relevant and it was a kind of a stressful moment, then that will make it more likely that you remember it next time now that you're remembering this. Okay, stressful moment in here, it was apple, that kind of thing. So having multiple cards with relation to one object, and you can also go reverse. So if you're doing a language, you can have the Thai on the front, and then you're supposed to say the English, or you can have a picture on the front, and you're supposed to say the Thai, or you can have the English on the front, and you're supposed to say the Thai, something like that.
I've been doing these kind of multiple cards where I tend to have confusion, like with the different K words that all sound very similar, different.
Yep.
I'll just line them up. Is that
on one card?
On one card.
I do that too. How many words will you have on the back or the front?
Maybe seven is the most.
Yeah.
Sometimes three or four.
Three or four are good. Like people who are like, this is their life, and this is a lot of people's life. Basically, like all these memory champions, all of them use spaced repetition system. All of them use memory palaces. Pretty much. There might be an occasional outlier, but. Why? What were we talking about? Yes. I wish that was a joke. It can be a bit much. Like, ideally, you'd have one question with one answer on each card. It's easier to say for people who have apps like Anki who have, you know, who are doing these online where it's basically like a virtual where they can create three cards with one click type thing. But for us, you can still do it. And I think drawing them out or writing it up is valuable as well. So.
Yeah. Right now, in my six, I've got at least 50 cards in there.
Yeah.
And how do you do it all in one session? I mean, sometimes I do. I can't do it all. I don't have enough time. I mean, if it's a slow go.
Yeah. I really make this like a priority. So if I'm living in a monastery where there's space in the morning, I mean, I try to do it. At the Hermitage, I would do it fairly soon after I woke up, or definitely before the meal, because that's when I've got the most like motivational energy. Because with this, one thing you want to do is once you start, is to really try to do it every day. So if you think that you might fall off, like you think you might get bored, you might miss days, then rather than missing days, just add fewer cards at the beginning. If you're kind of hesitant, then start with like, yeah, four cards on each day. You're adding new cards every day to level one. But you don't want to miss a day, because if you miss a day, then things back up. And if you miss a day, then you kind of go back. Hopefully it'll just be one day, and then do the levels that you didn't do. But with level five, yeah. I mean, if it seems too much, I'd say start adding less cards.
I think it may be that, you know, what we're talking about, those cards that I'll have, they're like 5-in-1 cards.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
they
yeah.
might be tripping me up, but it can easily take me a couple hours to get through.
Yeah, those ones do. Those take a lot of time extra if you've got more information on one card.
Thank you.
Another thing that I've learned is, and I don't think it breaks the system at all, is deliberately spreading out number 6 and 7. So, with number 7, I will say I will review 1/3 of number 7 the day before it comes off, 1/3 of number 7 the day it comes off, and the rest of number 7 the next day. And so, and I do that for 7 and 6 because
nice.
They're the ones that this can take a lot of time.
That's a great idea. I do that too. I saw that 7 was coming up when I was going to be on Tudong, so I was like, forget that. I'm going to do it along with my mom's before I head out on Tudong. So. I did all of level 7.
And 6 and 7 have time intervals are so big that you can push them around a little without causing a great deal of damage.
Yes, yes. And like this is level 7 now, and I'll probably have twice an extra that much added on later. And again, I don't find it burdensome, so I like having a lot of cards. But if it seems like too much, then I'd say break them down into different cards, and then you get more gratification because you're getting more kind of.
I mean, it's enjoyable. It's just it just seems to be not enough time in the day.
Yeah.
Sometimes, not enough.
Yeah.
During the winter retreat, it was kind of beautiful where
Get
up and have a little bit more time.
I think Ajahn Kachana's technique. That's a good one.
And I've done that a few times too. And I felt like I was cheating a little bit, but I guess it's not.
I think it's okay.
Your brain, it isn't like this is the day your brain is going to.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll go on to spaced repetition system. One just last comment about this. Sometimes people who are really into this will go on a card-making binge. So you basically get in a mood and you've got your Thai notebook, your Pali notebook, your whole sutta. You just make 50 cards in one go. Write out a whole sutta on different cards. And then those can go in like a separate stack. Those can... What Ajahn Kachana uses, is like envelopes. So I've got these little rubber bands around these things. But it's basically you have envelopes. Each one's labeled like level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, up to level 7. And you can have an extra envelope that says stock. And so you'll take cards from stock as you're ready and then put them right into level 1. So you won't have to like create 5 new cards every time you pick up the thing. Okay. So on to the Memory Palace. Memory Palace is also known as the Journey Method or the Method of Loci or the Roman Room. And as in the talk the other night, you can store any number of of pieces of information inside of a memory palace. And this involves both, I was talking to Tantisro, visual memory as well as spatial memory. So probably all of us here, if you just, okay, think about the house that you grew up in. Like, probably you can walk in the door, walk in the front door, you're in the living room, you walk into the kitchen, you know, go past the dining room table, you go into, and basically it's not hard. You can fairly vividly, probably, have a good idea of these things. So you basically, you want to be collecting different palaces, different locations. So for the Dhammapada, I started while I was in Thailand, living near Ajahn Chah Sarol, and then I put the first 208 verses scattered around different places in Thailand where I was living. And then verses 209 to, I moved back to America, so verses 209 to 272 are in the basement of the new building, and then moved up to the Pacific Hermitage, and the rest of the verses are up at the Pacific Hermitage. So that's not ideal. You don't want to be like crossing continents for your memory palace. That's why, it's one of the reasons why, like, if I get like one wrong, it's because I'm like thinking, accessing the wrong hundreds. So like someone says like 345, I might, you know, think of 245, get it mixed up like that. So ideally, if you're going to be memorizing like the Padimokkha, like I think Tanti Dipanya was doing it like this. I did the Padimokkha as a memory palace after I had already memorized it. So most people memorize the Padimokkha just as like by rote. You're just repeating it to yourself over and over again a certain number of times every day for however long. But this memory palace has the advantage that you can pinpoint any rule and say that rule. You can go backwards, you can go forwards. You've got more of a it's a more robust kind of system. And you're also, you're literally, like when I'm chanting the Padimokkha, I just took about, it was less than an hour, but basically mapped out, I decided I'm going to put all of the Padimokkha verses here at Abhayagiri, starting with the Parajikas down by the mailboxes, coming up the driveway. I've got the Sanghadisesas, then we've got the Anesas are outside in this courtway, and then Nisarga Pachitia are in these three buildings, and then basically the Pachitias are like jumping, each Kuti is a different number of like 10, you know, so each 10 Vaga is a different Kuti. And then the Mub is like all the Sekhyas. I just decided, I drew that out on map, and I figured out, okay, numbers 1, 2, 3, 4 are going to be here, here, and here. Sanghadisesas are going to be here, here, and here. And it can be a bit disturbing, like if you try to like imagine like people committing all these offenses like all over the monastery. So you can just remember like words. Like if I did that, I'd have like somebody committing Sanghadisesa down by the, you know, where they park the van down there, which is like gross. I don't want to be thinking about that. But like just, you can like think of like just the syllables. You can store like San Chaitanika Sukhavisati is the Sanghadisesa number one. So I can have an image of the sun down by the van rather than the actual meaning, because most of us, it's great to learn the meaning of all the words on the chants we learn, but if you're not quite ready to invest that much time, just learning the sounds, San Chaitanika Sukhavisati, I've got a sun, and that sparks the memory. Depending on what you want to remember, you should choose a memory palace which is relevant. So, I'm talking with Tanti Dipanyo, and he mentions the eight thoughts of a great man. I was sitting here, and he was sitting here reciting them, and in my mind, as he said, okay, we're going to try to remember these eight thoughts of a great man. There are a number of things I could have done. Since I'm sitting in here, when you are taking in a new piece of information, part of your mind remembers where you were when you're taking that piece of information in, whether it's someone's name or a list of dhammas. So sitting in here, you know, I could have put that information like anywhere, my childhood home, you know, someplace, you know, Disney World, wherever. I'm not sure if I went to Disney World. But you don't actually have to be at these places. You can choose video game levels. Unless you have like a video game problem, you can use, you know, scenes from your favorite, stages from your favorite TV shows. There's like an infinite number of places. And even within one palace, you can just zoom in and have multiple objects within one room. So Adhanti Dipanyo is saying that eight thoughts of a great man, I get in my mind, okay, where am I going to store this? So when you, before you take on new information, or when you're about to take on information, this is the storage phase, and you want to give importance to this. Because if you don't, things which are not stored well, that just ends the process. You're not, I'm sorry, encoding. Encoding is the most important. Because if you don't encode well, then there's nothing to store and there's nothing to retrieve. So you really need to make an intention. And this is something which I do is actually, yeah, make a note to yourself and put it in your spaced repetition system. Kovilo, remember to make a point of deciding where you're going to encode information as it comes in. Write that on a card, put it in the spaced repetition system, have that go through my system, because if I just have the insight, oh, that'd be nice to do, but I don't remember that, then it'll just pass out of my memory that this is a great thing to do. So got that in there. Or Dhamma insights, as I was mentioning, like you can put Dhamma insights into your thing, and you might think, well, that's really, you know, that's kind of weird, you know, I have an insight and it's supposed to be personal, and if it's a real insight then it's really deep and I don't need to write it down. That's not really how it works in my experience with, like, maybe with extremely, maybe if you become a sotapanna or like an anagami, then that's deep enough. But with like mundane insights, like I have an insight about some kind of social interaction or an insight about what's helpful in meditation, it's a great insight, true, but you're going to forget it. And if you put it into your lightener box system, you're consciously strengthening that insight. Even if next time you look at it, you're like, oh, that's not really insight. And that's kind of obvious. It's like, you know, when you write stuff down when you're high or something, you look at it the next day and you're like, that's kind of dumb, you know? and that's kind of how these insights are. But still, like maybe the third time you look at it, and it's like, maybe it is kind of insightful. So when you're deciding memory palaces, sitting in here, okay, I'm going to put eight objects on that wall because that's what I'm looking at. There's many ways to break down a rectangle. How I usually do it for five objects. So lots of vagas, lots of chapters in the Dhammapada have 20 verses. So I have five locations, five loci, you can call them, on each wall, four walls. One, upper left corner. Two, upper right corner. Three, lower left. Four, five, right in the middle. Six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And so there's many ways that you can, like, and if you have these ideas in your mind of ways to use what would be like kind of a boring empty space, then you can put these are tags, these are loci that you can clip information onto, and you'll be more likely to remember it. So usually it is a place, but it can also be a person. If I wanted to, I could imagine Tita Panyo and clip the eight factors of a great man onto his body. So at the top of his head, I could have the first quality, second, third, fourth, with his different limbs. And so yeah, I was kind of tired when he was saying the list, so I didn't remember it. And I wasn't here during the winter retreat, but if I'd been more awake and if I'd written it down and put it in my spaced repetition, then I would have remembered it. So this is how Memory Palace can fit into your spaced repetition system, is that once you've got, so scattered throughout, throughout this batch and that batch are cards like this, which say a verse, Dhammapada, and then it's got this Google arrow, like, you know, location. And I look at the front and I say, I'm supposed to tell where is verse number 170. And then I think, and I say, yes, that is related to the word case. So I've got CD cases, and I'll explain why that is the case in just a little bit. And it's located in a different building, like kind of the women's restroom, outside. I've never been inside. At Bonbun, this place where Ajahn Jaya teaches. So then I look at the back. Yep, I got it right. So once you have information that you want to remember, you have made a point to encode it, either to write it down and put it into your box, or just to remember it. And then you make cards that tell you, like, say, you know, you could have, like, all eight factors on one, on the front of a card, like eight Saparisa Dhammas will be on the front, and then this little symbol, which means location, and then I'd have to say where I stored that location. And I have a picture of that wall and the different qualities. So that combines the two methods.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
You probably do that first, and then you'll make a memory palace before you start putting it into your box.
Yes. Now I will, because I find that it's, if I'm especially memorizing a list, like having a memory palace, like if it's more than three items, is super helpful. And I've been to enough places in my life, and I've got enough, you know, places in my mind that, like, I can find a location for the piece of information that I'm learning. So ideally, I would put it into the box the same time as I'm learning it.
So, like, do you ever just walk around and just kind of look at these places again and like, oh, here's that?
I do. I told you I was memorizing the Sanyutta Nikaya, names of the sanyuttas. And right now the sanyuttas that I'm memorizing are in the kids' room down below. So I thought it would be, like, a bit sketchy, like, if I, you know, went down there, actually kids around. So I, like, waited till there were, like, no kids so I could go and, like, peek all around the kids' room. But that is super helpful. And if you're memorizing the Padimokkha, and you make it, like, the track that you have to walk anyway up to your kuti, you're reinforcing your Padimokkha knowledge just by walking up to your kuti, because you're getting stronger visual memories of everything you walk by. And then every day as you walk down, you could do it either way. Either whenever you think your mind is brighter, you could say, if your mind's brighter in the morning, then you can memorize the Padimokkha starting with the Parajikas up there. And then each morning you're passing by. And even if you're not saying each Parajika, you're associating with that location in some way. Any more questions on memory palaces before we go on? There's many advantages.
What do you think are the effects of kind of mixing, like using the same kind of memory palace for different sets of information? Like, let's say you're using that method of walking down a path, and you use that path to memorize the Padimokkha, and then once, you know, you feel pretty confident that you use that same path to memorize something else, like a long sutta or something.
You could, if you're, like, really observant. It's possible that, I mean, you could use, like, say you memorize all of your Padimokkha things on the left side of the path, then you could theoretically remember a whole bunch of other stuff going down the right side of the path. But it does kind of, things do get mixed up if you keep using a room. Like, this is the place where I store this room, Nisargiya Pachitiyas 11 through 20. And so, you know, even if I had been trying to store the Saparisa Dhammas in here, it would have been slightly overlapping and not so beautiful. But that said, like, you know, although I've got you know, I can think of, you know, probably many places that I've been and do have memories of. They don't always come to mind. So, but if you can find a unique relevant palace for the type of information, so Panimokkha is relevant to Abhayagiri. Tanti Tapanu is a Saparisa, so memorizing on his body would be relevant. Tantisro tells me a new, you know, piece of information, then I could, yeah, put them on his kuti or something in my mind, you know, and that kind of thing. Okay, now we get to smashing scope. So this is an acronym created by Tony Buzan, who's like I think he created the first memory championships in America, but he's this totally like eccentric British kind of memory guru who's written like, I think he created mind maps, the word mind map he created. But this SMASH and SCOPE is an acronym for elements which make visual images memorable. So the more of these you can get involved with the images that you're creating, then the more likely it will be to stick in your hand, in your head. There's a psychological principle called the von Restoff effect, that you memorize things which are different with more readily than you do things which are all similar. So if you've got a stack of 40 gray books, but then one red book in the middle, you're gonna remember that red book because it's unique. So I mentioned that I had Jay-Z in Ajahn Jayasaro's locker there. There's another reason why I use Jay-Z, but also it's kind of funny for me having Jay-Z in there. I could maybe I'll just go through all of these. So synesthesia, as we were talking about at Midnight Tea, is basically an ability that some people have naturally, like they can't even control it, is to perceive certain, visual objects, basically have a misperceiving, intra-perception. So basically they'll perceive numbers as colors. For some reason, they're just born this way. And and because of that, when they combine two different colors or two different shapes in their mind, then that, you know, somehow lets them, you know, figure out, you know, do crazy addition really fast. So basically, getting your senses involved and all six senses involved and kind of mixing them up in different ways. So Tanti Tapanu, what are those eight, or does anybody know those eight Saparisa Dhammas?
I could tell you.
Yeah?
If that's useful.
That would be great.
Well, I can do the positive ones. The first one is this Dhamma is for one who is modest, for one who is contented, for one who resorts to solitude, for one who is energetic, for one with mindfulness established, for one who is concentrated, for one who is discerning, wise, and for one who delights in non-objectification, non-proliferation.
And what was the fourth one after solitude?
Modest, energetic.
Energetic, okay. So we're all going to try to remember those. So, and we'll put them on this wall. One, two, three. Four, next to Lumpurcha. Five over here. Six, seven, eight. So modest in this upper left-hand quarter. Does anybody have an image or an image of some kind that makes use of one or more of these things? Modest. And it can be any part of the word modest.
It can be one. It's the first one, just like a simple. It doesn't have a lot.
The number one.
Number one.
Number one. Sure, sure. Modest. In my mind, I know this Thai person named Maud. So I would have maybe the number one, that person standing up, like they were a number one. So that would be modest.
Tan Sudhir.
Yes, exactly. You have tons to do with this Thai person. Yeah, the more things you can layer on and just put up, and they're floating up in that upper left-hand corner, the better. The next quantity is contentment. You basically use all these different tricks. Contentment, solitude, putting forth effort, being mindful, having concentration, being wise, and non-papancha. Does anybody have any questions about any of these factors yet? Because you really do want to create memorable images. Movement really helps. Exaggeration, you can expand the size. Lumpur Biak uses this method. He'll say not specifically for memorization, but basically, I mean, he's got an incredible visual memory. So he'll say, basically if you are meditating on say for some reason you meditate on the object of hair, like hair of the head, he'll say, take one hair in your mind and then make it as big as the sala. Make it huge. Make it the hugest hair follicle you've ever seen. And then shrink it down. Make it basically dust, smaller than anything. So that's exaggeration. Personal relevance is hugely important when you're creating these images. And all the rest are too.
What's order?
Order is it fits into, say, the memory palace. Like, we've got an order that we're walking this path to, an order that we...
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I definitely noticed when memorizing lists, and I haven't used this yet, is that oftentimes, I probably deliberately in the suttas, but things will be listed in, say, order of less extreme to more extreme. And so if I know I have 5 qualities going in that order, I can very often come up with them because I know, I've got these 5 qualities, say, relating to modesty, and if I can somehow guess why they were ordered the way they're ordered, it's very helpful.
That's a really good point. There's also a principle in Pali called the principle of waxing syllables. And you see it all over the place. You see it in the formula for the praise of the Dhamma. It's such that in a long list, the Buddha uses oftentimes in these different suttas, we'll have a list of like 5 basically synonyms. And they're not randomly ordered. They are oftentimes roughly synonyms, but they oftentimes are ordered by increasing length, kind of like you're describing in terms of increasing difficulty. But so like... Swakato Bhagavata Dhamma. San Ditti Ko. And then you start over with Akali Ko. Ehi Pa Si Ko. Opa Na I Ko. Pacha Tang We Di Ta Bo Win Yu Hi. So basically you're increasing, and this is helpful for when people are memorizing these, and you see it in all sorts of lists in Pali.
Right. The Pali Canon was designed by people who knew how to memorize.
Exactly. Okay. And so, Sudiko is going to be bummed that he missed out, because this is an awesome memory trick, basically. It's called the major system, or the phonetic mnemonic system. And it would be good to write this down, because... you basically have to memorize what numbers are associated with which letters. So what this allows you to do is turn numbers into images. So why I have, Matt had said, verse 160, the reason I have JZ there is because it's JZ is number 60. Okay, and the reason why I have verse number 270 as case is you have case 70. Okay, so basically what you do is these, each number is associated with one or several different phenomes, which are basically sounds, and they make up all of the letters in the English alphabet. This type of system was first introduced in the 1500s, and this actual system of these specific letters related to these specific numbers was first published in 1825 by a French author named something like Ariel Parry. But just going through them, so zero is associated with sounds, and you can remember that because because zero has a Z and a S in it, zero. And it also has zero vertical lines or horizontal lines. It's got no lines at all. So zero is S, Z, and X. One is D and T, and you can rememberize that because each of those has one vertical line each. Number two is N. And it has two vertical lines and two points at the bottom. Three is M, because it has three lines and three points at the bottom. Four is R, like the number four. And it's got four sounds like that. Five is L. The Roman numeral for 50 is L.
Yep.
And when you kind of go like this with your five fingers, you've got an L here. And then number six is J, G, Ch sounds. And you can remember that because six kind of looks like a G. And seven is K or hard C sounds. And seven or K kind of looks like, you know, two sevens in a way. Eight is F and V. And sometimes cursive F's, if they're rotated in the right way, look like an 8. Or you can say two V's. Yeah. And then level number 9 is associated with B and P,
yeah,
which both kind of look like 9. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the kind of genius of this system is that you can go both ways. You can turn any word into numbers to some extent. And you can also turn any numbers into words. So how I found this helpful for Dhammapada is basically not trying to remember I do know every number for every verse, but I only created images and put them in the different places for every fifth verse. So I've got Jay-Z in Ajahn Jayasaro's closet. Then I've got jail. I've got, you know, like a, you know, jailbird. It's actually like a fenced in thing. Number 65 up on Ajahn Jayasaro's desks. Case is up in this teaching venue. Kale, like the bushy green, is over next butt. Face, like this blue man face, is somewhere else. So you can use this for any kind of number that you're trying to memorize, also for like for phone numbers. So does anybody have a phone number from their childhood that we can list out?
9261 1 1 3 3 9 3 3 9.
Okay, now chances are left to your own devices, even if like you really liked Brett, and even if he still had that phone number, and even if you wanted to remember it and you didn't write it down, chances are you're not going to remember it, no matter how many times you say it to yourself, you know. If you say it to yourself a bunch, 9261339126, 9261339, you might be able to call them within the next like 30 seconds, but because of that forgetting curve, you're going to forget it. But if you clump or you chunk into images or into blocks, then now you have an image that you can associate with Brett. So you've got Bane. So for myself, I've got specific associations for every number from 00 up to 100. So in this, I would kind of recommend it, because it doesn't take that long to kind of create these. But basically, I've for every number, all of these numbers from 1 to 100, I've got a specific image or a specific word. So like 11 is dead, 12 is Dane, Dame, Dare, Dale, Dage, Dake, Dave, Dab, Naze, Nat, Nane, Name, Nair, Nail, Nudge, Nake, a Nave, a Nake, Nave, Nabe, Maze, Maid, Main, Man, Mare, Male, Mage, Make, Mave, and so on. So I already know that 92 is Bane, like that Batman villain, and this is Jade, like the Mortal Kombat character, and also like the precious metal. And this 33 is Mame, so I've got an image of this like stick man kind of hacking somebody. And number 9 is pine, so like a pine tree. So yeah, now we've got, in my mind, I want to remember that Brett's phone number is, yeah, Bane, the Batman character, having a fight with the Mortal Kombat character, Jade, and then he's maiming her, and they're doing it, he's maiming her underneath a pine tree. So your phone number when you grew up was 92, 61, 33, 9. Yeah. And so you can do it with phone numbers or anything. One trick which Ajahn Jaya, if you don't want to remember like all numbers from 1 to 100, some memory champions have a specific image for every number from 1 to 1,000, where they have three different images for 1 to 100, because then you can have a person, one person for every number from 1 to 100, one action for every number 1 to 100, and one object. And when you've got a person, an object, a person, an action, an object, you've got a story right there. So basically, you've got six numbers. I can put that whole story just up in that corner. And then on this wall, if I've got, you know, 10 spaces, then I've got six numbers there times 10. So I've got 60 numbers up on this. Yeah, 60 numbers just on this wall, which are related in, you know, fun and exaggerated stories. Yeah, it's cool. So if you don't want to remember every number between 0 and 100, I'll teach you just 1 to 10, which are a good, very good start. And that way you can say if your list is like the 8 gifts of a Saparisa, the 8 gifts of a good person, then you can link each of the qualities with a different number. And that way you'd be able to say, oh, what's the 6th quality? It is the 6th image, which I'm about to associate with frequency, which is the 6th quality. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So Ajahn Jaya came up with this. Well, he didn't come up with it, but he recommends this to people who are wanting to practice memory. So one, and so these are my own images, but they work well because they fit in with this system. So one is Ajantan. So it's got a D sound, and it rhymes. All of these words I'm about to tell you rhyme with their corresponding number. One is Ajantan. Two is new, a new car. Three is me, and that can be you. It doesn't have to be Kovila. Four is roar. So I've got an image of a lion roaring. Five is live, and I've got an image of that Body Worlds exhibit with the guy like holding up the flesh kind of skin. So that's live. Six is chicks, and one thing I don't do is I don't use sensual images, which a lot of non-monastics find really helpful to use, is like sensual and sexual images. But for chicks, instead of like girls and stuff, you know, I got those little baby chickens. And seven is Kevin. And I, you know that guy from Home Alone? He's like, that's Kevin. And eight is fate. So I got the Grim Reaper holding up his scythe. And then nine is pine, a pine tree. So that's, now if you're memorizing the eight qualities of good, Saprisa Dana, it's with Ajahn Dhan, you put purity. So you've got something pure related to Ajahn Dhan. You link up something new with excellence in some way. You're linking these qualities up. The third quality is timely. So you've got a big clock related to me. Maybe I've got like a big clock necklace, like an old school rapper. And then four is roar. That's right. So I'd have like a lion roaring with like a bunch of like allowables in his mouth. And then five is live, which is after reflection. So, you know, this, maybe it's like the thinker, you know, holding up a thing like that. So this is the major's mnemonic, phonetic mnemonic.
Specifically recommend those nine?
He recommends having a system where you've got an image associated with the numbers 1 through 9.
So those are your nine?
These are mine. And they fit very well into this system, which is genius and very well thought out. And what, if you start using it, you'll see the kind of genius in all the consonants in the English alphabet can fit into this. And basically, if you do decide to start making up images for the numbers 0 to 100, you basically just add in any vowel in between the consonants on the edge. For myself, I'd say 80%+ of the time, I was able to use a long A sound. So I've got nase, so like a nasal cavity, nat, which is not a long A. Nane, like a summer nane. I've got this kind of chubby little nane who I know. Name, which is the name of this Thai person with a crazy name and she's got a big name tag on. Nair, so that's another long A sound. It's like this, you know, product which you put on your legs to get your hair off. Nail, so you've got like nails you hammer in. I wasn't able to do it with 26, which is nudge. 27 is anake. So again, you can have vowels before or after these. The vowels are kind of like disappear when you're creating these images. But yeah, it's a fun exercise and not a waste of time. Like on one pra, you're falling asleep. Like, why not go into the office, get a piece of paper, and take an hour to create images for the numbers, at least 1 to 9 if you're not going to use these ones. But you could create, yeah. Like, okay, just example, Tanrakito, what would be an image for the number 49? Rap. Exactly. You could have a rapper. Yeah. For me, I have rabe. So like rabies. I've got like a crazy dog with rabies. See, Brett, how about number 83?
Fam. Short for family.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I've got Ajahn Dhan in my system. I've got my mom. I've got my brother who's named Nat. I've got my sister, who's named Elena, and I've got my dad, who's named James. So I really don't want to have like sexual connotations with any of these people. So that's another reason why I don't create sexual images. And yeah, so I think that's that plus the initial method is about what I wanted to present. I've used all of these systems for memorizing Dhammapada, all of the names of all the suttas in the Majjhima Nikaya, all the names of the suttas in the Digha Nikaya, about halfway through with the Samyutta Nikaya. And yeah, I use the Memory Palace for all sorts of small little things. So.
Are these all in Moonwalking with Einstein?
I think he might. I'm not sure if he gives this full list.
Okay.
He does?
He definitely mentions it, so I would assume he gives the list, because it doesn't take very long.
He might, but I've seen other places that like mention it and then don't give the full list. They'll be like, oh yeah, M is 3.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You can search major system,
probably,
or even
online.
Just, yeah, totally. There's Wikipedia articles for all of these things. So, is that it? Moonwalking with Einstein is really good. Pretty much, I don't know if we have any memory books here, but they're all very similar.
Obviously.
Yeah. Like, and they're all kind of like, a lot of it's like a lot of fluff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if we could get some memory books. Like
Unlimited Memory?
I saw that one. I haven't read it.
Yeah.
But that would probably be good. The first full one I read was by a guy named Harry Lorraine. Ajantanio recommended it to me. Yeah.
Do you incorporate any kind of recordings with anything that you're working on, like Kaivoka, like chanting along, or anything that aspect of it?
I don't, because I don't have like access to like a, you know, a smartphone or something like this. But with these, you know, any of us ever become Tenvasa monks and decide that we wanted to get a cell phone or something.
Well, I mean, like just even like the MP, just recordings and things like that.
You,
MP3s.
Yeah, I'd be fascinated if anybody figures out some creative ways to do that. Yeah, why not? They're super awesome. I mean, but these like pre-made apps like Anki, you have whole decks which will have audio incorporated and like, you know, images, so you can, which is super helpful when you're learning a language, like to have, like especially the sounds of the letters. But yeah, you could kind of simulate that in a way with just your MP3 player and kind of like, if you created a way. Yeah, you should, if you try, please let me know.
There are, like my, my, you know, your MP3 player lets you have a list of, you know, MP3s, so you have the titles in a list, and then if you press the play button, it will play the contents of that title. And so, unfortunately, most MP3 players don't let you move them around so easily, so it's not like you could, you know, have folders 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7, so you could say, oh, I got this one, okay, move it up to the next folder.
Yeah.
But, you might be able to do that.
Can those new recording devices, they do have multiple folders, yeah?
The new ones we bought, unfortunately, don't.
They don't.
The ones.
Okay.
I think that one, for instance, might.
It definitely does.
But,
and then, does anybody have a Sansa clip? Or do you have Rockbox on it?
No, I have SanDisk.
SanDisk.
But you can do folders in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you just keep on the computer, you can move them around that way.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. I've never done that, but yeah, Ajahn Siddhanta did record the Dhammapada, so we do have the Dhammapada as one full track, which is about 2 hours, or as 26 individual chapters, or as like each individual verse, 423 of those. So I'll put those on the server.
He
recorded me saying it, yeah. And I'll put it on the server.
Yeah, one way to get your numbers, if you just type it with a number,
yeah,
you don't see what it is until you start to apply it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
System.
Yeah, I like that. So, maybe just one last thing which kind of summarizes everything is like one from some memory book that I read, the triple C of memory, is one, concentration. So you do need to put concentration into most specifically into the encoding phase. You need to concentrate. If you're paying attention to multiple things as you're taking in this new input, or if you're tired, or if you know, you've got all these hindrances, then you're not going to be able to input, and you're not going to be able to encode your information well. The second one is creating images, which we talked about as smashing scope. The next one is connecting concepts, which is basically we take the images that we've created and put them into our memory palace. Or if you're using the major system, you can just link them. You can link two things together. And the following is, and the last C is continual use. And that's what the spaced repetition system is all about, is basically, you're going to keep it in mind if you keep returning to it. So,
you started using the connecting concept as using these three different systems together?
Connecting concepts, so basically, either, you know, taking the images that you've created and then putting them into your memory palace, that's one way of connecting concepts. Or another method, which I didn't specifically go into, is just called the link method, which is where you link two images or two concepts in your mind, like trying to remember that the first of the saparesa dhanas is pure. So you've got ajahn dhan and purity, and you kind of link those in your mind, and then you've got new, like a new car, and excellence, and then you've got me, you, and
clock.
Timely. That's right. I got that gold clock around my neck. Yeah.
I won't ever be able to call Brett, but I will remember that thing named J under a pine tree.
Yeah.
I don't have a number system, but I got that down.
Some words that have a whole lot of different meanings or expanded meanings.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like just sticking with like two or three most important or prevalent definitions of a word, as opposed to maybe going through the lesser meanings and applications of the word at first.
Yeah. If you're like going through a dictionary, getting words from a dictionary.
Yeah,
or,
right. Yeah. Or if it's a Thai word and it's a classifier, it's a word on its own, and then it's a classifier for a whole list of things.
Yeah.
Should I be trying to?
You could probably just
break it up, or try to go for it all at once. Because that car tends to be more of a fail than for quite a bit.
Yeah. In that case, put it on two different cards, or multiple than that. But like, I think I mentioned to you that one thing you can do with. Is like this close deletion, close deletion. So like you've got like a space and then the word. So like if you're looking in, like a lot of Thai dictionaries have this, English dictionaries have this. Say you're learning the word jai, then you on the front of the card. Or on the back of the card, you would have the word jai, because that's what you're trying to know. But then on the front, you could have many different other words which use jai as a complex. So like blank, so you're trying to figure out what this blank means. Jai ron, and then that means irritated. Jai yin, question mark, yin. Yeah, so this type of thing. So on the front, you have multiple instances, on the back is one answer.
Yeah,
if that would help.
The other way, where I'll have like the primary thing, and then I'll have like extras that are kind of like my bonus little candy thing.
Yeah.
I for the cash, that'll be like if I have time, I'll like
nice.
Lamjai or da 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 da.
Nice.
But then sometimes that I'll have the cards get kind of bulky, where I'll have. Like the word gall. It's like
God, it does. It definitely does, yeah.
And it's just hard to wrap my noodle around. Sometimes I just want to take with, okay, also, or just, you know, just a few words in the beginning.
Yeah. What might even be more useful is if you take a full sentence and then do the deletion, because, like, you really do need to know, like, how it's used in place, because there are other words for also and et cetera.
Yeah, I've started following that, too.
But
I use bigger cards.
Bigger cards.
It's so easy to, with the tie, you know, it's easy to get confused with, the, you know, what am I looking at here? Is that a D or a K? Or
right, right. And as soon as it gets feeling, like, oppressive, then you should, use less cards or figure out some way so you don't want it to feel aggressive.
Can I ask some questions?
Yeah.
Maybe this is the beginning. So when you get to the 64, or when you finish a game, so the ones that you... So I guess when you start over, when you finish a game, what finishes? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when you get to level, what level is number 7 on? Level 7 comes on day like 56. Yeah. So the ones that you graduate out on 56 can, like, you can start creating like your pillow. And again, I wish I could say that I firmly feel that I know every word in here. And I probably know most of them, but you know the words pretty well. You've gone over them 7 times in multiple contexts and, so, but I do keep them, because there's a thought, like, at some point, like, yeah, I could go back through them and put them through the system again if I don't know them.
Could that make a game of your games?
Yeah, maybe. How would I
do that?
Oh, yeah. It would, you know, totally be a... Actually, it might be a chore. I don't know.
It would definitely be.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just one of my questions. Yeah, how would you remember?
And also just a related note.
Yeah.
So if anyone does start doing this spaced repetition system, when you get to day 1, which will hopefully be today or tomorrow, you'll see that you're supposed to review level 2 and level 1. Don't be intimidated saying, I don't have anything in level 2. Don't worry about it. That's for when you complete a full rotation or a full round. And then, so on day 65, after you've gone through the whole thing, then you'll come back to day 1. And then you'll definitely have stuff in level 2. So on day 1, just forget that you don't have anything in level 2. On day 2, just don't worry that you don't have anything in level 3. But then on day 3, you actually will have stuff in level 2. And then that's the first day that you'll start processing level 2. So.
Question. How would you use this to say that?
Keep information?
Keep a determination.
A determination.
You made it like a 10-day determination or a month-long determination. Have you done that before?
Well, what I do is I've got quite a big stack of cards which are just... This is kind of outside of the game, but a big stack of things which are always in level 1. So I go through this, unless I'm feeling really tired, I go through this stack every day. In here, you have things like determination. Various, like, personal kind of determinations. And I'm basically looking at it every day. So, it's just, like, reaffirming. And also, like, with different determinations, like, you will have, like, insights related to that determination. And those insights can go either scrolling through the system or keeping on level 1 if it's something which is... you do want to remember on a regular basis.
Okay.
I don't know if you find any other creative ways to, or if anyone can conceive of ways to do that, but I think it's a great idea.
You said you use these dimensions to remember names too. What system do you use for that?
Usually like a linking system, so connecting concepts. So the professionals, like the memory champions, like I saw this one YouTube video of this, maybe this guy Dan O'Brien, who's like a memory champion all-star, but he, it's like this conference room, and there's probably, 100 80 or 100 people in the whole in the audience, and like he had made a point before starting the presentation to kind of like at least look at their names, you know, after they had signed up, and then have like, you know, some short conversation with all of them. And then as he was doing that, you know, it's just a normal short chit chat, you know, before an engagement. But then he says, okay, everybody stand up. And then he goes across the room and is able to like point out everyone's name. He says, when I say your name, sit down. He's like, Anna, Susan, Brett, Matt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And bam, he got everybody.
Wow.
So how the professionals do it is they've got images already in their head for different names. Okay. So they would have put the images that they've created for names into their spaced repetition system to prep and be ready for when you meet somebody named James or something. So, again, there's a principle called the Baker-Baker paradox. So, if I was to give you a list of random words, like, or a list of random names, like Smith, Anderson, Baker, Cooper, Jordan, Ireland, etc., like 10 different names, the chances are that you'd remember, say if Baker was the seventh on the list, the chances are you'd remember it with just other random non-associated names is not so high. But if you have a list of professions, you've got ice cream maker, cobbler, baker, basketball player, soccer player, monk, you've got more associations with these occupations, these images, than you do with straight non-meaningful names. Mm-hmm. Like you might have known somebody named Anderson, but maybe you don't know somebody named Cooper, etc. So if you put something in context, like the name Baker as an image, people will remember it better. So that would be easy. The image for a baker is a baker. But I haven't done this, but it could be useful at some point to, like, I mean, the Upajaya, the preceptor list of, like, book in Thailand of, like, names for people. Like, someone could theoretically go through all that and create, like, images for all these people's names. But, yeah, if you can, on the spot, like, a lot of this takes spontaneity and creativity. Like, the concentration, when someone's giving you a new piece of name, a new piece of information, you really need to be on the ball to kind of like, if you want to remember people's names, like, one, you can put it in your spaced repetition box. I want to remember people's names. And then when you get their name, you say, when you actually say, oh, what's your name? Then prepare yourself that they're actually going to give you a piece of information that you want to keep. And then they say it to you. So what's your name?
Chittipala.
Okay. And then I can actually say it to myself, Chittipala. And then in my mind, you know, I actually do have like the image of a chitta as like a heart. And then say like, the first thing that comes to your head is often very useful. So the first thing that came to head, my mind for this was chitta baller. Yeah, so I've got like a Michael Jordan, you know, with this heart symbol in my mind. So I might like, when you see somebody, like the most striking characteristic of their presence. So for you, the first thing that pops off is your glasses. So I might like associate, you know, a heart on one lens and then Michael Jordan being a baller on the other lens. So you basically link images to that person's body. Yeah, in that way.
It's just a commentary, like, something I noticed that I think probably everybody has the same thing happen, is that you remember the face of a person, but the name is harder. The face, never forget a face. I think this is like a famous expression of the way.
Right.
So just like the power of image, perhaps.
Right.
But the name was more like abstract.
Yes, unless you make it concrete. You make it an image. Yeah.
Stick the name on the face.
That's right.
Any tips for some of the Thai kind of play names and nicknames? I mean, for somebody who's just, you know, not used to hear different sounds put together, and like just kind of, you know, that's kind of the hardest thing. It's one thing like a Western name, but like hearing, yeah, like hearing somebody's, you know, name at a work meeting, and it's like, what was that name again? And then, you know, it's almost like you can't even pronounce it to remember it.
Yes, but if you ask them like what their name means, like Thai nicknames are easier than English names in a way, because especially if you ask them what it means, then one, you get a new Thai word, which usually these nicknames are like common words, and then also usually it's like an easily, you know, to remember object, like gold is frog, dinsa is pencil, you know, like people with these crazy lek small, yai big, you know, etc. And it's easy to kind of visualize those on somebody. So if you actually take the time to ask them, then that kind of reinforces the memory. Any other comments or questions? Or?
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you've amassed here.
I have a question if someone else could. I didn't have a writing input with me. I'd like to get down some of these basic notes or time for the other.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I should read photos or something like this.
Sure. You can. Yeah, I think it's impressive. Like, when I was memorizing the Dhammapada, it was really helpful. Like, at Nanacha, there was one Sri Lankan monk who was like, oh yeah, I memorized the Dhammapada in, you know, 3 months before I ordained. Okay. And then I'm talking to this, you know, Thai monk, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm memorizing the Dhammapada, all the verses, plus all the verses that occur in the commentary to each verse. So that's probably like another, you know, 600 verses. So it's like, and of course, you know, monks have been memorizing since like the time of the Buddha, and yeah, it'll be, the test is actually how I retain it. So I do have a plan for keeping the Dhammapada in my mind. Basically, if I do 4 chapters a day, then I can recite the whole Dhammapada in a week.
Do you think there really is photographic memory?
People who are like better at memory, like memory masters than I am, say that there is, but like this Tony Buzan guy, but I'm not sure if I totally trust him. He makes a lot of claims, but I definitely don't have it. I mean, people can like see a page of a book, and like I've never met anybody who can do that. But, yeah.
There are people in Burma that memorize the whole Tipitaka.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Did you meet any of them?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Actually, with the Shroom in the real avid. Huh. He just comes like once, maybe, you know, every 2 weeks to give a Dhamma talk. Like, how many people come?
Huh.
He's a very short man, but he memorized the whole Tipitaka. He's,
wow,
he's one of the 13th, I think, to get that.
That's awesome.
Title, you know.
That's awesome. Is that Dara?
It's Dara Tipitaka. This would be the, yeah, Tipitaka Dara. So his whole name, like Tipitaka Dara. And then you have like Vinaya Tika Dara. If you just memorize the Vinaya.
Oh, yeah. I've got to meet some people like that.
Yeah.
Perspective.
Ready for
closing.
Closing,
yeah.
Test. So you just want,
fail.
The first couple Pali words of verse, or can I ask a number?
Oh, you can do either one, but the numbers are harder, and it, if you give me a number, it could take me as long as a minute, and I might have to like hide my face while I'm trying to.
That sounds great. How about 127?
So I'll walk you through what I memorized. So 127 is after 125. Number 25 is nail. So I remember it's in the, you've got a pile of nails in the Papa Wagga, the 9th chapter on evil, and you said 27?
Mm-hmm.
It's the second to last verse in that chapter. And this is up on the second floor of the place where Ajahn Jaya teaches. And it is... I'll tell you 126 first.
Okay.
Gabameke upajanti niriyam te upabajino niriyam te upabajino sagam upatino yanti impanang subitam upasitam. Sagang Sukatino Yanti Nibbana Sukatina Days Nibbana. So it's about, I can tell you what the translation is in English. It's about a mountain. Like if you go, there's no up in the air, Akasewa. Yeah, there's no hiding anywhere in the air or in the middle of the ocean, Samudaye, or in like a hole inside of a mountain for someone who's done evil. Can you tell me the first word? Aka.
For 127, the
yeah.
First word?
Na. 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 Anta. Na. 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 Nasamudamaje. Na. Pabatanam. Vivaram. Pavisa. Na. Vijati. Jagati. Pateso. Yata. Tito. Mucheya. Papakama. See.
Neither in the sky, nor in mid-ocean, nor by entering into mountain clefts, nowhere in the world is there a place where one may escape from the result of an evil deed.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah. See, I gotta kind of work.
Okay.
There's something about the pressure as
well. Well, yeah, that's...
But,
get you ready for your conference.
What's that?
I'm getting you ready for your conference, so you can just...
yeah, that's right. That's right. There you are.
I was going to say, when you do the test, the exam for the Dara, like
yeah.
That's what they'll do, they'll read the phrase.
Yeah, okay.
And then the person has to continue.
Have you seen
it,
sir? Have you seen similar things?
I've never seen it, but somebody explained it to me, and it takes like months. And there's like a panel,
yeah.
And people are checking,
wow.
And they just pick out random kind of places.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you have to, so they'll say like a few words or a
yeah.
sentence, and
yeah.
then you have to continue.
Wow. Yeah, that's
sentence.
Impressive. These guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the numbers are, it's difficult. I got to stop. Yeah, it's not even kind of worth memorizing. Once someone says the first couple words,
mm-hmm.
then I think I can say
mm-hmm.
the number with confidence. So.
Yeah.